high-flying Martin Patella. Hey, Martin, how are you doing this fine day?
Oh, back on the ground. Thank you, Scott.
You just got back from a halfway around the world trip because you just flew from Eastern Europe all the way to Western Canada.
Yes, that's what I did.
And so how did it feel to be so high up in the air?
Well, you know, I'm not rich enough to buy business class, so I flew economy. And the first thing that happens is that you're sitting for 8 hours in a fairly small seat with not a whole lot of exercise room. So by the end of the flight, you know, I was actually experiencing what I would call lymphatic congestion. You know, like all of a sudden, like I was feeling swollen and I was feeling puffy and I was feeling tired and sluggish and cranky and you name it.
Yeah, I can vouch for the crankiness because I picked you up at the stopover in Vancouver and took you out to the dike in Richmond, and we walked along this nice flat area looking at the ocean on one side, the beautiful trees and forests on the other side, the mountains in the distance, and I noticed an immediate improvement in your mood.
Yes, it definitely improved.
and I know that the company was a big part of it, but I don't think it was
100%. I was just going to say that.
So you're sitting for 8 hours. You're not really having much opportunity to move. You feel that lymphatic congestion occurring. Was there any other things that you noticed while you were up there?
Well, you know, there's this sort of a thing of like ungrounded kind of thing going on. You know, it's like the creativity goes away. You know, there's something to be said about being able to connect with the real ground, you know?
Yeah. Well, you're definitely not grounded when you're 5 or 6 miles up in the air.
No kidding. But, you know, in a tin can with another 500 people and I don't know what the number of people was, but it was a big airplane.
Yeah, and you're recycling the air as opposed to getting fresh air.
Oh, yeah.
I guess there isn't any fresh air outside, right?
Well, I think they're trying to keep it warm because they show on the monitor the external temperature at minus 45 or something like that. So they can't just open the window.
I guess that's why they don't have screen windows, right? Minus 45, oh.
Yeah.
And I suppose, too, that most people, when they're up that high, you don't get the natural protection of the Earth's atmosphere from cosmic radiation and all that sort of good stuff.
Well, I suppose, but, you know, you're inside of an aluminum tube, so I don't think that is an issue. You know, I don't think that the UV radiation up there is any worse. But maybe the other cosmic radiation might reach us a little more. There must be something to it, although I don't know. I don't dare to predict whether the aluminum body of the aircraft is protecting us better or not better than 11 kilometers of air or 8 miles of air. That's where we were up there.
Right, right.
Yeah, but that's a good reminder of that we are supposed to be taking sun rays, right?
Mm-hmm.
Except directly.
Right.
Yeah. Well, the UV, you know, UV is blocked certainly by the atmosphere. So that's why you need to be worried if you go skiing in the mountains, because if you're in 10,000 feet up there skiing on some glaciers, you're going to get burnt in a fraction of the time than you would somewhere down in the lowlands.
Right, right. Cool. Well, I'm glad that you're back. I'm safe and sound and feeling healthy and chipper. And one of the things that we wanted to do today was start a three-part series because we didn't feel we could get it all into one and we didn't want to rush on how to get sick, because, you know, we've been talking a lot about, you know, things that make people healthy and all that sort of good stuff, and I think that we should balance our conversation and talk about how to get sick.
Give people explicit instructions to really, like, head down the down the aisle, so to speak, quickly. Yeah?
That's right. Like, no more of this pussyfooting around. Like, if we're going to get sick, like, let's do it right.
Let's go all out, yes.
Yeah, and I think we've got like 27 or 28 topics that we're going to be covering over the next three podcasts.
Yeah.
And
I think we should give credit where credit's due, because this thing was written up by our earlier quoted author, Jordan Rubin, who's a real nice guy. And this comes from his book Maker's Diet. So let's give him credit, because he deserves it.
Okay. You just did.
Yeah. Jordan, thank you, because you're a good guy.
All right. So, number one, he says, stay out of the sun.
Classic. Who has the most melanoma? Beach, what are they called, those swim guards?
Lifeguards?
Oh, yeah, lifeguards on the beach, or office workers?
I would say the lifeguard on the beach.
Wrong. Oh. Honestly, statistics prove it. People who spend their time in the sun do not get melanomas.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
Ta-da, right?
Wow.
Who'd have thought?
Who'd have thought? Yeah. Well, and I mean, when you think about it, too, and you talk about, like, skin cancers and stuff, it's rare that you hear of an African that has it, but, us guys from Scotland, we get it all the time.
Pale face gets it. But you know what the strangest thing is this? Vitamin D is protecting us against cancer. It's one of the biggest, well, you probably see it in the press if you're not blind. Even the mainstream is writing about it. How the vitamin D is important, protects us against all kinds of illness, including cancers.
Yeah.
And the way your body produces vitamin D is by exposure to sunlight. In fact, when I was a kid, long ago in the 1950s, back in Czech Republic, mother used to take me to the doctor where we were exposed to, they call it the mountain sun, which really was just a full-spectrum UV-included lamp. So I remember us little kids, we were issued these little goggles and sat in front of this thing stripped off of our clothes.
Oh, wow.
I actually have a picture. I don't know if it's of me or some of my playmates or something like that, but there we were.
Huh, very cool.
Not in your childhood, huh?
No.
I guess that's my good communist publicly funded healthcare that did it for me.
That could be. Well, also, there's a lot of things in Russia and Europe that they're way further ahead than in North America on, and yeah. That probably was one of them.
Yeah, but of course, in their efforts to be modern, they discarded these old wives' policies and exchanged it for watching Hollywood movies and eating McDonald's hamburgers. They have totally modernized, man. They are so modern. They even have things like Prilosec and other modern drugs that are very popular out in the West here.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you want to get sick, stay out of the sun. And
right.
Okay,
so to flip it, everybody should spend about 15 to 20 minutes every day in direct sunlight with face, arms, at least exposed, you know. Like, I wish we all could live in Florida or something like that.
Oh, yeah, wouldn't that be nice? Okay, so number two is go to bed after midnight.
Yeah, I'm suffering from that, I tell you. This one really took me for a loop. This jet lag that hit me, it hit me pretty bad.
So your biological clock is still off?
Oh, it's all over the place. And I'm, you know, my thinking is fuzzy, my bodily functions are funny. You know, like when I got there, right, my local morning is at their evening, right?
Yeah.
So if I would normally go to the toilet in the morning, well, nothing happens in the morning there because that's middle of the night.
Right.
So I have to kind of get adjusted to this old rhythm and try and fit it into the new rhythm. And
that's funny.
Oh, yeah.
So Dr. Joseph McCullough talked about the timing of your sleep affects its quality.
Yes.
And so if I'm going to bed at 2 in the morning and getting up at noon, I'm not getting the same quality of sleep that I would if I went at 9 in the evening and got up at, say, 7.
Yeah. You know, when we evolved, think back to the cave times, right?
Yep.
The sun set at 6 o'clock and got up at 6 o'clock. It was dark from 7 to 5.
Yep.
Dark.
I mean, dark as in you couldn't do anything.
Well, you could do stuff. That's why the population remained pretty strong.
Right.
You could grope in the dark, but you certainly couldn't be reading a book.
Or hunting for food.
Yeah, probably not. You'd probably kill yourself trying.
Yeah. Well, plus. I understand that tigers or saber-toothed tigers, they're like, their vision is like 10 times better than ours at night.
Yes.
So they would be ideal for coming after you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. So yeah, so there we were. We evolved in a situation where we were supposed to go to bed early and get up reasonably early too.
Yeah. So yeah, that's interesting because we hear a lot that 1 hour of sleep before midnight is equivalent to 4 hours afterwards.
Yes.
Which is just amazing.
Yeah.
And there's also been published studies that say that if you have chronic sleep loss, you're going to have some serious symptoms, like, and it's going to mimic the effects of aging and diabetes and those sort of things. So, I guess if you want to be young, go to bed early.
That's right. And, you know, before I learned all this, I would abuse myself all the time.
Well, I was just thinking of when I was in my 20s and also, you know, other people that I've seen in their 20s and 30s. And, you look at them in the morning and like, well, what did you do last night? And, oh, yeah, I was partying until 2 or 3 in the morning. And, you know, they look old, you know, totally
yeah.
drained and everything else. I mean, it's not like you can't see it around you every time somebody abuses themselves.
Yeah, well, the oxidative damage kicks in.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember that on my own face because, sometimes I put work ahead of my own health. You know, sometimes I make commitments that I'm going to get something done and I stay up late to do it.
Yep.
Does that ever happen to you?
Yeah, it happens to me lots.
Yeah, it's ugly because I look at myself in the morning and I'm thinking, oh, I look 65.
Yeah.
And I'm not supposed to look like that.
No, that's right. Cool. So the next one we want to talk about...
Actually, before you run off,
okay.
I would like to mention this. It's called the circadian rhythms. Okay. Like
say here, that word again, the circadian rhythms?
Yeah, it's spelled like, based on the word circle, C-I-R, circadian.
Okay.
It's a Latin word for... I don't know what, probably circular. And what that's based on is that every organ or every meridian, every energy center on your body has a particular time of day when it's most active. Like, for instance, your liver is most active between 1 a.m. and 3 a.m.
Mm.
So that's when majority of the cleansing and whatnot action that your liver is responsible for is taking place. So if you're still awake at that time, you're probably shortchanging yourself or your time when you're going to detox.
Right. Huh.
So the next day, after staying up through 2 or 3 o'clock, you're going to be challenged with toxicity.
Yeah. And yeah, that's interesting that you bring that up because recently, not actually within 10 miles of where I live, a new bridge has been built. And, of course, this bridge has massive lights all along it, so at night when people are crossing, they don't, hit the side of the bridge and fall off sort of thing. And it comes across the river at a place where it's basically a farmland. And there was all of these crops that were being grown previous to this bridge being there, and the farmers had a massive complaint, and you know, part of it was like, oh, you know, not in my backyard, was the original impression that I had. And they said, listen, when you've got these lights on 24 hours a day, okay, or they're on when it's dark, so you have light 24 hours a day, it confuses our plants.
Mm-hmm.
And it impacts their growing cycles and all of these sort of things, and it stresses them out, and they don't produce the fruit, and not the quality of the fruit, nor the amount of fruit that they normally do, because I believe they were like blueberries and strawberries and that sort of stuff that they're talking about.
Right.
And corn. And I'd never thought of this before, right?
Yeah, you're supposed to have them on for a bit and off for a bit. You cannot have them always on.
That's right. And we don't think of that for ourselves either. Like, I have to be on all the time, you know, sort of except when I sleep. And I really don't need a lot of sleep. And that's, of course, a sure way to get sick.
Yep, absolutely. Really bad news to abuse the natural cycle.
Yeah, so, okay. So you've motivated me. I'm going to be, I usually go to bed later. I'm going to be going to bed earlier and getting back on that proper life cycle.
Getting up at 6 in the morning.
Getting up at 6 in the morning. Well, I'll set my alarm for 6:45, and then I'll do that for a couple of weeks, and then I'll go back another 15 minutes and another 15 minutes. There's also I don't want to shock my system by...
you would cause yourself a jet lag.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, I can just see myself going to sleep at 9 and waking up at 1 and not being able to sleep till 4.
Yeah, all of that.
Okay.
But I respect that. But you know what? I remember when I was a young guy, I was working in a sawmill that was running a swing shift.
Yeah.
Swing shift, for those who have never experienced it, one period, 2 weeks, from 7 in the morning to 3 in the afternoon, and the other 2 weeks from 3 in the afternoon to 1 in the evening.
Hmm.
Now, when you get off work at 1 in the evening and get home maybe at 1:30 or something like that, you know, this is physical work. I was pumped, right? I was fully activated. There was no way that I could go straight to sleep.
Yep.
So I'd go, you know, to sleep by 3 or something like that. Anyway, this swing shift was just awful. Just awful, awful, awful on me. You know, like I would suffer. It would take me 2 or 3 days out of the first to get adjusted to it.
Yep.
But I've learned something even more interesting. People in the health industry, like nurses, they work something even more awful. You know what they do?
Well,
they
I know when I was young, I was working 12 midnight till 8:30 in the morning stocking shelves.
Okay. But that was a steady job, right?
Yeah, it would be 3 months.
Yes. So you just had to get adjusted to it and stayed on it.
Yep.
But contemplate this one. This is the fate for a lot of people in the health industry. 2 12-hour shifts, morning, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Then 2 night shifts, 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. in the morning. And then 4 days off.
Wow. Wow.
It's insane. And this is the norm for the health industry. I mean...
No wonder people in the health industry don't live very long.
That's one thing. But second thing, they make mistakes. Mm-hmm. And they make horrendous mistakes. One of the biggest causes of death in America is medical mistakes, right?
Yeah.
I mean, when a guy in the bakery picks sugar instead of salt, you know, okay, you spoil a batch of something.
Yeah, throw it out, start over again.
Right. When the gal picks the wrong bottle, your heart's slowing down instead of speeding up, and goodbye, Jack.
Right, right. Oh. So, and it's weird that they wouldn't think of, you know, why not have 4 7 to 7 8, you know, a.m. to p.m. shifts, 4 days off, and then 4 7 p.m.
shifts.
To 7 night shifts. Like, just do it that way, right? That would make
that
sense.
That would somewhat be workable.
Yeah.
And most people that I've talked to hate it, just totally hate it. And yet they have not staged a revolution. They have not stepped up and said, no, we're not standing for this, we're changing it.
Yeah, because we know that's one way to get sick.
Absolutely. Yeah, when you mess around with your circadian rhythms.
There you go. Okay, so the fourth way to get sick is taking megavitamins.
Yeah.
Use
strange,
massive,
huh?
Yeah, use massive amounts of vitamins and minerals in a very unnatural way, and is for some reason the body just doesn't like consuming such artificial products in excessive amounts.
Oh, you mean like taking 300 oranges in one sitting kind of thing?
Yeah, except it's just in two pills.
Yes. Yeah. Well, this gets complicated because once your body is sick, getting a mega dose of vitamin C might be one of the things that's going to save you.
Mm-hmm.
But in general run of the things, doing mega vitamin therapy, that's proved to be not a great thing. I don't know if you remember back to the 1980s, there was a book out. Big one, big fat thing, 900 pages, mega vitamins. It was by something, Burke and Sandy. Oh, gee, these people don't come to my mind anymore. I actually read those books, and I actually tried it for something like 6 months because I was really curious. It was called Life Extension, and it was by Dirk Pearson and Sandy Shaw.
Okay.
And you tried to look those people up. They look old.
Huh.
They did not do too well with life extension and megavitamins.
Right.
So what's supposed to happen, of course, again, let's go back to the caveman, is we were not designed to be eating in a pharmaceutical manufacturing facility. Design is to find things in nature and eat it that way.
Right.
So vitamin C, you know, one apple, one orange, one something, you know, a handful of berries.
And that's, yeah, that's the way we're supposed to get these things.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, so what you're basically saying is good organic food and beverages using living food as
that's
opposed
right.
to... I mean, and we get into this all the time, too. I mean, you know, is it the vitamin C that's really good in oranges, or is it the vitamin C plus all these other bioflavonoids and stuff that's in a good orange that
right.
that helps, right?
Yeah, all of the compounds that are blended in there. Yeah, and this was the classic joke, is if I handed you the pile of stuff that the orange is composed of, could you make me an orange out of it? You know, like a cup of water, three vitamin C pills, a little bit of, I don't know, what else? Whatever else you analyze that's in there.
Orange flavor.
Orange flavor. Bit of tang. But if I gave it to you in cute little piles, all sorted alphabetically, would you be able to pull it together and make me an orange out of it?
Not likely.
Not very likely, exactly. Anyway.
So we're getting back into the fake stuff versus the real stuff, right?
Right. I mean, yeah, this is the same note that, or same riff that you heard me play so many times, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. So, yeah, so take Mighty Mega, Mighty Mega Vitamins if you want to get sick fast.
Right.
Number five on our list. Or anything else you want to say?
Well, you skipped number three, you know that, yeah?
Oh, I did. Okay, so we just did one, two, and four. And
so.
Let's go. I must have got any sleep last night. Let's go to number three now, which is never let them see you...
Sweat.
Oh, yes, perspiration. Oh, my goodness, that just...
Well, yeah, all right, yeah. I need to use not only an... deodorant, I actually have to use an antiperspirant to be socially acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
By the way, visualize this, okay?
Okay.
One of the major lymphatic clearing centers are the lymph nodes that are in your armpit, just under the breast muscle, sort of in the axilla, in the armpit, yeah?
Okay. So it's a major way of detoxing.
Major, like that's, you know, how your lymphatic system has this major highway, which is which starts just over above your collarbones, right?
Yep.
Like all of your lymph has to get pumped right into that area and then back down again. So that's really near the major clearing centers for all of the lymphatic system. So let me illustrate a fast way to lymphoma. Block your auxiliary lymphatic nodes.
Yeah, let's just keep all the toxins in our body.
Yeah, keep them in there. And never mind, just keep them in there. Load them up with some zinc oxide or whatever it is that you need to load it up with to stop the sweat glands from opening.
Hmm. Cool. So the perfect way to get sick.
Right. Block your sweating. Number one, don't exercise. Number two, never go into sauna. Number three, use excessive amounts of antiperspirants.
Yeah, because the stuff that is in the antiperspirants, you know, like aluminum, it's really good for helping you get sick and getting things like Alzheimer's disease and other neurological problems.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or the famous zirconium-based underarm granulomas, right?
Yeah. Wow, awesome. So, so we got to make sure that we're sweet-smelling and dry.
Well, okay, let's dwell on this a wee bit longer, okay? If your sweat stinks, why is that?
Probably because you're exuding, thank you, toxins.
That's right. You're full of S-H-I-T.
Yeah, in the wrong place.
Well, you know, once you start, essentially the dam is full and you're overflowing and you're backing up into the lymphatic system.
Yeah.
And there are two areas where this stuff naturally gathers. Okay?
Yeah.
It's in the low gravity places. One is in your feet.
Yeah.
And the other one's in your pelvis.
Okay, yeah, because we sit.
Yeah. And of course the elimination places, most people sweat in their armpits and also around their either on your bum or your sex organs or thereabouts. I mean, that's a major sweat area. We're not supposed to talk about it and all of that. But
right.
Gosh, if you're with some people, it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, yeah. So the idea is detox, and then your sweat is sweet smelling.
That's right. Yeah. So if you're afraid to sweat, you must.
Yeah, if you're afraid to sweat, yeah. Well, you have to sweat. I mean, we need to exercise to get our blood pumping and everything else, and that's one reason why you sweat, to cool down the body, and the other is to get rid of toxins. And that's why you look at the Scandinavians, and they're always in their saunas, and it's great. Like, I do hot yoga, and, I mean, that is hot, and we're sweating like crazy, but I'll tell you, you feel amazing afterwards.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we had kind of planned that we'd get through 27 in three sessions, and I think that we're very optimistic because we're coming up to the end of this particular episode, and we've only made it through four. So this may be four or five or six.
Or maybe I'll learn to talk quicker or say less. I don't know.
No, but everything that you said is really important. And I think, you know, it's about time that we stood up for those people that want to get sick, and we told them how to do it too. We've been telling everybody how to get well for so long that, you know, there's some people that they don't want to. They just want to, you know.
Yes. Yeah,
really,
okay.
So, I mean, if we do it three or four extra sessions on this, I think, considering we've done over 100 for the other people, this is good.
Sure. Hopefully we won't get any hate mail.
So, everybody, you've been listening to the Life Enthusiast Co-op Online Radio Network. And, Martin, if somebody wanted to get a hold of you and talk to you a little bit more about, mega vitamins and sleep.
How to not sweat, all that.
All that sort of stuff. How would they do that?
Well, the website, www.life-enthusiast.com. We're entertaining you with the health education section. And you can, of course, find the phone numbers right there, 1-866-543-3388, or international calls 775-299-4661. And right at the same place, you can also find the link to all of the archived podcasts. At least 150 of them, I know.
Yeah, on your podcast.
That's right. So thank you very much for listening. This is Martin for Life Enthusiast Co-op, restoring vitality to you. And